get the point I'm trying to make. That is what he was saying is this. That he first described the person of Jesus Christ. That in him all things consist. That he was before all things. All thrones and authority, they are subject to him. He now said, he pleased God to use that same Jesus to reconcile all of you back to himself. He now said, this is the expectation of deliverance from all your troubles. Christ inside you. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That's why we title this, My Place in Christ. That is, you understand that failures and troubles and all this harassment of devils, they are beneath you. Do you understand my point? That is why, listen, if somebody, I've told you before, no matter the molecular biology you have studied, when you are explaining my troubles to me, I'm just looking at you like, you are the one that is confused, not me. Take my genes and analyze it all you like. One thing I know for sure is that all of the knowledge is subject to Christ. And if Christ is in me, it makes nonsense of the predictions of science. Listen, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. This is the point he was making. That is, if anybody steps into my light, every deed of darkness will have no power over him. You understand why Christians are absolutely confused when they spend all night praying against enemies, witches, wizards, misappropriating the blood of Jesus. You know what I mean? Yes, yes. Blood of Jesus against my enemies. You are, let me watch my tongue, but you are jobless. No, God doesn't have that time. Blood, you know, you hear all kinds of things. Somebody said, let us pray against Satan. For what now? Let us torment the devil. I have too many things to do. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, the fact is that Christ dwells inside me. Let me tell you what God is saying. Every time somebody explains a principle, and they say, there's one Iroko tree in your village. They have not yet uprooted it. Tell them you don't have time. If they like, uproot it. If they like, don't uproot it. If it is important to God, the thing will catch fire. Do you understand my point? There is no Christian that is subject to generational curses. Listen to what I'm saying. The restraint that was placed upon generations before you does not apply to you. I told you there are two creations. There is the first man, Adam. That was what you were before you gave your life to Christ Jesus. He said, if any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. Actually, that's what that thing said, literally. If any man is in Christ, there is a new creation. That is, Christ is the firstborn of the new creation. Anything that Christ is not subject to, the man who has given his life to Christ and is walking steadfastly in the faith, according to Paul, is not subject to it. Do you get the point I am making? That is, demons don't see you and you know, and hang around like, oh boy, what's happening? You are not mates. And some people say that they are casting out every demon from this house. Listen, demons don't live inside my house. I don't care the stories you have heard or told. Demons can only live there if I invite them. Like, demons come now, I won't drive you. And they say, are you sure, sir? And they start, you know, they are afraid. Do you get my point? I was reading the other day in the paper. They said they went to harass some Ayilala. I don't know what's Ayilala. Somewhere in my state. That their shrine, there's too much accident around there. I'm not saying it's not true. But listen, if I drive by, they go on break. You understand the point I'm going to make? They'll go on break that or guide the pass. That this one, we have nothing in him. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, all the problems in life, a result of sin. Listen, Satan needs a hold on people. And God condemned the first creation by the sacrifice of Jesus, that anybody who believes in Jesus, he's no longer a part of the first creation. Believe me sincerely, I believe in the gospel of divine health, not only to cure malaria, but to heal hereditary diseases. Are you getting my point? Because he said, if the body is subject to... Oh, let's go there, let's go there, let's go there. Romans. Chapter 8. Listen to this. He said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Let me explain something about the word Christ. Somebody said there is a difference between Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus. Now, that is deep theology. But I understand what the man is saying. That is, when you say Jesus Christ, usually you are talking about the person on earth. That's Jesus the Messiah. But if you see the emphasis Paul laid, check most of the time Paul spoke, he spoke about Christ. He wasn't speaking about Jesus. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Because I want to talk about that. He didn't say Jesus in you, the hope of glory. He said Christ in you. There is a difference. In fact, I believe when he says Christ Jesus, he was telling you that the same spirit that was in Jesus on the earth is what I'm talking about. When he uses the word Christ, you know what he was saying? That the whole of solution that God had prepared, it's now, listen, it's now in a spiritual capsule. Do you follow my point? That is, all God's solutions to mankind, for mankind, is in a spiritual capsule that was produced by the sacrifice of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Don't let me go into all those details, but God needed a human being, mankind, to pay a price for the redemption of the souls of men. And Jesus did that. And everything he achieved, God uses one word to describe it. That word is what? Christ. Do you understand my point? That is why Jesus can sit at the right hand of God in heaven, but Christ can be in you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? That Jesus is seated on the right hand of God in heaven, but everything that he's sitting represents can be inside you. That is what he calls Christ. Do you get my point? So he was saying here, he said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, first Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? That is, everything that sin brought to this earth, every trouble, corruption that sin brought to this earth is called death. There is a principle, when the Bible talks about law, it wasn't talking about the laws of Moses. The law of sin and death means that, for example, there is a law of gravity. Everything that goes up must come down. There is a law of sin and death called the wages of sin is death, is a law. That is, every time you do something not according to God's perfect order, you are subject to death. Death is the spiritual force that makes everything go wrong. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That is, if you find that a marriage is not working, you find that a business is not working, you find that somebody's health is collapsing, that is what is called death. Do you understand that point? If they tell you that somebody inherited a genetic disorder, that's what is called death. Do you understand my point? It said there is a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It works above the law of sin and death. That is, though there is gravity, if I power my plane, kick the engine and take off on the runway, gravity becomes irrelevant. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now look at what he said. Verse 9. He said, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Verse 10. If Christ is in you, let me first read it and I interpret it. Though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. That does not bring out the meaning of what Paul was saying. Let me read it properly to you. He said, though the body is subject to death, like we're explaining what death was, which comes because of sin, he said, yet that Spirit of Christ will give it life because of righteousness. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, the body that was subject to death takes life when the Spirit of Christ enters into it. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. That is, Sarah was 90 years old. When the Spirit of Christ, because it is not now it began. Remember, the Bible was talking about Christ. It said he was before all things. When that spirit contained in the word of God entered into Sarah, King saw her, an elderly woman, and wanted to kill to collect her as wife. You know, people said that Abraham had never seen anybody raised from the dead when he believed that God would raise Isaac. On record in the scriptures, there was none. But I said, in reality, he has seen one. He said his body was as good as dead. God quickened it. Are you getting my point? Listen, it is a reality that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. You know, you can imagine how irritated God must be in heaven when Christians sit down and gather and grumble about what the economy is going to do for them, to them. That our children are dead is a lie. Believe me. Even though the economy is subject to death because of sin, yet when you step in, listen, you are God's champion, you are God's messenger. When God wants to rejuvenate an economy, he sends people that have life into the place. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what Paul was saying when he said, Christ in you is the expectation of glory. Glory does not mean that when you draw a photograph of Mary in a photograph, you paint a halo over her head. Holy Family, all their heads shining. That is not what glory means. You know, want to know what glory is? A widow, that is, she had no husband, was passing with her only child dead. That means she had nobody to help her anymore. And then glory went there and said, young man, I say unto you, arise. That is, her problems have just ended. That is glory. Whether his head shone or not is irrelevant. You are getting what I'm trying to say. Glory is where everybody said you will fail. You succeed there. That is glory. I hope you are getting my point. When they say that you will die, you say, I will live. And they say, I was so sure that this guy will die. I told a story of one brother who told me that they fired a gun at him, and somebody told him later that he saw when they killed him. That I was there when they killed you. The guy said, don't worry, the bullet didn't touch me. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Glory is money. Look, Christianity is not about film show. You know, once people are falling down on the stage, people like to go and gather. That man is anointed. It got to a time, preachers started looking for how to give you thoughts so that... No, I'm telling you the truth. Because the wrong perception is that glory is how much people physically misbehave when they are around you. Listen, that can be a manifestation of glory, but that is not what glory is. Listen, if 1,000 people sick enter a place and you lay hands on them and nobody even feels anything and 1,000 leave the place healed, you know it's more important than what they felt. What am I saying? Christianity is not about show. It is that whatever be the problem, especially in a place like Nigeria today, that people have subjected themselves to one of the smallest principalities of life, economy, you know what I'm saying? That they will tell you that government is the reason why we cannot progress. God said even government is subject to Christ. And Christ is in you. That is the fact, that is the reason why you should not fail, though the economy is not doing well. Do you get the point I'm making? Listen, Christ is in you, is indeed the solution to all your problems. But remember what we said? They know not, and they don't understand. Therefore, they walk in darkness. Let's go back to Romans. Did I say Romans? Colossians chapter 1. There's something I want to read here. It said, verse 21, although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, He said, yet he has now reconciled you. Notice that. In his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond your reproach. Look at the way he qualified it. He said, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which we proclaim in all creation, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. What am I saying? Remember what we said some time ago? Isaiah chapter 2. He said, God, why is it that your people have not experienced your glory that you have created them to have? He said, because they have made... How does it go again? Isaiah chapter 2. Quickly go over there. Please, let's quickly go over there. It will help me to just say what I want to say. Isaiah chapter 2. Remember, he said he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we are supposed to walk in that light. He now said in verse 5, Isaiah chapter 2, come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have abandoned your people, that is, they are not experiencing this glory that Christ is to them. Why? Because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. They strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Notice that. The reason why glory, listen. If you read Isaiah chapter 40, God said it like this. He said, just make the path straight. Make the road plain. Then the glory of God will be revealed. Do you get the point I'm going to make? That is, yes, this is what God has made you in Christ Jesus. But he said, why is it that people don't experience it? He said, because the path of flow of the glory is not smooth. Why is it not smooth? He said, because they are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. That is, they begin to talk like unbelievers. That kings, princes that are supposed to walk on horses, they come and start talking and say, horse. Horse is not for people like us. In fact, the horse is too tall to climb. In fact, last time one of my friends tried to climb the horse, he fell down. I was there and he broke a hip. So princes would not climb a horse because 10 of the spies told them they are not able. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, people scare them away from their inheritance by words and they believe them. Listen. I have said again and again, God, all these things that I've said, God never created you to try to make them work. All he's saying is that stop making them not work. Do you get my point? That God said, if you come against a man deep in the occult, don't try to learn incantations. Just be looking at him. You understand what I'm going to say? That I will rise up as your defender. I will show you that his gods, they are not God. But God said, do you know the problem I have with them? At such times, they start running, looking for who will pray for them. They start looking for what to anoint themselves with. They too, they refuse to sleep. That they said, because the devils on the altars are not sleeping, even the child of God too should not sleep. He said, in peace I will lie down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. They don't read that. God said, the reason why the things I decreed for them don't work is because they are talking like the people that are not in the covenant. Remember what I said about Satan? That except you invite him into your house, he cannot enter. That's why Peter said, don't give room to him. That is, if you don't give room to Satan, he doesn't have space in your house. Are you getting my point? That is, the believer has a responsibility to stop hindering the glory of God. I have noticed that you cannot hasten God's glory. You can only hinder it. If you remove the hindrances, the glory is fast. It comes forth by itself. I mean, a believer wants to get a job or enter a business. All he's saying is, you know all the big men, they have cornered everything. God said, you see? He's talking like He said he's filled with influences from the east, from the newspapers. And his talk is, he has become a soothsayer like the Philistines. What are soothsayers? They predict what tomorrow will be. Is that not so? He said he's talking like them. Say, I cannot because the big men have taken it over. God, are you say you see that? You are ensnared by the words of your mouth. He said, because you say we can't enter, therefore your carcasses will lie down inside this wilderness. Why? Because you said. That is, Caleb said, God has given it to us. And that is my portion of what God has given. There are giants, it's irrelevant. If God is with us, they are meat for us. Their defenses are departed away from them. Do you get my point? Oh, because of time, let me begin to round up. I have not taken too much time yet. I haven't. Oh, come on. Although we started a bit late, so I'll still try to round up. There's something I want you to read, which maybe that's where I will continue from next time. Let me just introduce it now. Open your Bible to Revelations. There's something I want to bring out there I want us to see. Chapter 12. Verse 10, it said, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Notice verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. That's New American Standard Bible. I want you to understand one principle here. They overcame the accuser. He was thrown down. And there was a principle by which they overcame him. Number one, because of the blood of the Lamb. And number two, those two I want to emphasize, because of the word of their testimony. Listen, everything we call Christ was purchased. Let me explain what I'm going to say. Everything we call Christ was purchased by Jesus, by his death on the cross. Are you getting my point? That is, when we say Christ, we are saying the whole of the power of creation and redemption made available to mankind. Are you getting my point? And that came as a result of the shedding of blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus himself. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. Now he said, they overcame him. There was something I said earlier. That the Bible says that he has delivered us. Let me go back there. Just for a moment. I want to just explain something. In Colossians chapter 1. It said, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body, verse 22, through death. Okay? Now, I'm trying to bring out a point. There's something I want to read quickly. Let me see whether I can find it quickly. But anyway, what I'm bringing out is the fact that sin is what brought death. Do you understand my point? But the shedding of blood took away the sin of mankind. If anybody is of faith in Jesus, his sins are forgiven. I'll get to that again next week. Let me just introduce this today. Now, he said, they overcame Satan. Remember we said that if there is no sin, Satan has no hold. He said they overcame him because, I like the way my Bible uses the word, it said because of the blood of the Lamb. Which means that blood washed indeed away their sins. The reason devil would have had to hold on to them. That is one. He said because of the word of their testimony. Now one thing you have to understand is this. I told you earlier, everything around you speaks. Are you getting my point? Everything speaks. Sometimes people like this pleading the blood of Jesus. Now, I understand that God is very merciful and he understands what you mean. But if you want to analyze it correctly, you can't really do that like that. It really doesn't have much meaning. And that's what I want to understand. He said they overcame him by the blood. But notice the word. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb. And what? Because of the word of their testimony. That is the way by which you overcome. Using the blood of the Lamb is not by taking the blood and, you know, shouting the blood. Just follow me closely. Remember I said everything around you speaks.
Remember that?
Situations speak, experiences speak, what you feel speaks. People around you, they speak. Your friends, they tell you things. Your parents, your pastor, everybody tells you things. And the word of God speaks. But there's something I want you to understand. Please, I hope you are following me. Please, just try, okay? Oh, there was something that Paul said, which is what I want you to understand here. Hebrews chapter 12. He said, we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and myriads of angels, and all that, and all that. Jump to verse 24. He said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. Notice the word. You're not looking at your Bible. He said, he speaks. Are you getting the point I'm making? That the blood also speaks. He said, this one speaks better things than the blood of Abel. That's what I'm coming to. That the blood of Jesus also speaks. And people who overcome by the blood of Jesus overcome by saying the same thing that the blood is saying. Not by being soothsayers like Philistines. That is, if they are going to experience glory, then they must talk the way the blood is talking. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That I said that the blood of Jesus is what procured everything that we call Christ. The blood of Jesus is speaking. The Bible said it speaks. I mean, it's not my invention. You can see it here. Oh, it didn't strike you that it speaks. Now, I'm not laying my emphasis now on what he said. But the fact is that what? It talks. The blood of, what's his name? Abel. Was crying out for vengeance. Blood speaks. Remember last time we were talking on our radio program? I said, David found it compulsory that the speech of certain bloods be quelled. So he commanded Solomon to kill Joab. That Joab shed the blood of warriors in cold blood. They were not fighting. The man came in peace. Yet, Joab killed. Anyway, next time I will continue, all right, from that particular point. All right, I will continue from where the blood speaks.